should. Amen. Just because it's falling apart, you know, out in the world doesn't mean we have to fall apart. Traveling around, I watch many churches and church people who are watching the world fall apart, and they're falling apart.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to. People, Christians aren't supposed to fall apart.
Amen.
They're supposed to be able to see Christ in us. They're supposed to be able to see that we have some kind of faith in this day and age. You know, there's a purpose God has you alive in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't think you're just here because you're staying healthy and, you know, no, you're here because God has a purpose for you to be here.
Yeah. Right.
There's something that God has for you in this day. Brother Paul, and I love seeing you anyway. We were talking about you this morning. It was good things. But God has a purpose for us being alive today.
That's right.
But man, when you travel around and see the church people, you go, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What's the world seeing?
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Not a wonder why we have a hard time being able to give the gospel to people or go out there and tell them about Jesus or get them in our church. They're looking at us and they're going, man, if this is people with faith, then why would I want that?
That's right. That's good, brother. Yeah. That's right. Come on.
Well, they see our cars out here in the parking lot and they see us wearing ties and good shirts and all. But then when we get outside, the fear falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're seeing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, they need to see
that's
hope.
The truth, brother.
Amen. They need to see the hope of Christ that's in us, okay? I'm taking one of these waters here, down here, so if you see me disappear for a second, that's why. But the world's falling apart doesn't mean Christians need to fall apart.
Amen.
Right. That's right. Amen.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to talk a little bit about, there's a couple of things. We can look at the wilderness, and we can look at the wilderness as a legit thing that's happened to the children of Israel. They went through that. They spent 40 years there. Why? Because that's they determined that with God. What do you mean? Because of their faithlessness.
Yeah.
Because of the rebelliousness.
Right.
Because of them wanting to go back into the world. It took them 40 years just to travel a few miles. It wouldn't have been long.
Wow.
But see, God kept them out there. And so then we can talk about the wilderness in a spiritual aspect as Christians that go through spiritual wilderness times.
Right.
And they're for a purpose in God.
Amen.
They're lost people. Let me just tell you this. You're already in that wilderness and don't realize it. You go, why do you address lost people? Because when we travel around the churches, I know there's lost people sitting there.
Right.
I don't think everybody in every church is saved.
That's right.
Amen.
We're in the last days. In Revelation chapter 3, where's Jesus?
Right.
He's not knocking on somebody's heart. He's knocking on the church door to get back in.
Right.
We've kicked him out.
That's right.
Well, Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at this in verse 2. Look what it says here. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what is in thine heart, that whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you'd move me out of the way. Lord, I pray that you'd use my mouth. Help me to preach your word and glorify who you are. It's not about glorifying who Dale is. It's about glorifying Jesus Christ. It's about the things that you can do and those things that you have a purpose and a will for each and every one of us. I pray that you'd make that known to that one that doesn't know that today. And my God, I pray that you'd be with the word of God as it goes forth. I pray that it will convict hearts and change lives. I pray that the people will have ears to hear and a heart to be obedient. And Lord, we already thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the word of God that's about to go out there. Lord, we pray this touches in your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And I just want you to see, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, and I want to show you a picture of this world, and we're going to get into it from that point on. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6. We will be going back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, if you want to keep your finger there. But Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6, look what it says here in Jeremiah 2, 6. It says, and I repeat myself a lot in the verses because I want you to get there. I'm trying to convince you that if you ain't turning your Bible, you might want to.
Amen.
Don't not turn in your Bible. Don't just carry a Bible in the church. Somebody might see you carry a Bible. Church people see you got you carry a Bible. Bring your Bible. Open that thing up. God gave us the Word of God to open to it, to read along with the preacher. Why? We might say something that's not right.
Yeah.
Not purposely.
Right.
But I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Right.
Look what it says in Jeremiah 2:6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt? We know Egypt is a picture of the world. It said that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt.
Yeah,
I want you to understand that there's a reason why God brings us to a place like this. Here's what I ask people often. Stop praying that God gets you out of things and start praying that he gets you through them.
Yeah.
You'll learn more going through the wilderness than you will getting out of it.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you fail the first time God brings you through the wilderness, he'll bring it back to you.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So go ahead and face it and get through it.
Amen. Yeah.
When have we become so limp-wristed that we can't handle the wilderness anymore?
Right.
Amen. That's a reality.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? Start fasting.
Yeah.
But you get on your face and start showing God how serious you are about this walk and what he has.
That's good.
What his purpose is for your life.
Amen.
We're so worried about ourselves and what the benefits of this world can give it. Do you know God has benefits for us?
Yeah.
You will read Psalm chapter 130. Go read that and look at God's benefits. I'll tell you what, they far outweigh the world's benefits.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we become so focused. Look, at God's going to bring us through some hard times. He's going to bring us into this wilderness, Christian. Why? Because your heart is so full of the world. That's the only way to get it out.
Yeah.
Did you read what it said? That he delivered us from Egypt. He delivered us from the world. And so what did he have to do? He had to lead the children of Israel through that land, through that wilderness that was desolate, that was hard, it was dry, it was lonely. There was nothing out there. You ever walk through that wilderness and see how dark it is and how moldy and musty and filthy it is? It's in that place spiritually that God can get a hold of you. Why? Because it's in those times that you are more apt to hear the word of God.
Amen.
You ever know that when you go through a hard time, how much more you want to be in your Bible? How much more you want to read? How much more you want the song? How much more you want to pray? Then you think that God don't want to leave you there then?
Amen.
He knows he can get your attention in there.
That's right.
Amen.
Stop whining about it and get to God.
Amen.
Go to him and say, Lord, why am I going through this wilderness? Hey, he's happy to show you why.
Yeah.
He wants you to know why.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not here to be ignorant.
Lost people, there's a hard wilderness that you're going to go through, and the only one who can rescue you is God.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
A merciful God who knows exactly. Hey, you know, we have a tendency to forget. We lose sight of God, but God never loses sight of us.
Right. Right. Amen.
My goodness, you ought to remember that. And I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
Because there's hard times that I go through and I go, God, where are you? He never went anywhere. He's still in the same place he's always been.
That's right.
Amen.
Then why do I feel so far from him? Because that's my fault. I've done it.
Yeah. That's true. Amen.
I've not sought God. Right. I went after, you ever notice this, brother? When troubles come, the very first thing we do is reach out to a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Maybe not everybody. And I hope not. But we all need to learn that lesson that when troubles come, the first thing that we do is not turn to man. We ought to turn to God with that thing.
Amen.
And then God gave us men. God gave us women that we can turn to. But this is what it says. Trust not the arm of man.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's not man that's going to get us through. They may encourage us and exhort us to get through that.
Yeah.
Well, there are many times in our Christian walk that we feel this way spiritually, as I described there in Jeremiah 2:6. And you notice there, it didn't say that God brought them out of those things. It said he brought them through these places.
Amen. Yeah.
And every one of them is harder and harder and harder. Why? Because it's in that you mature.
Yeah.
It's in those things that every single time something comes upon you and you turn to God, the next time something comes upon you, you've matured a little bit more. You understand what's going on. As a young Christian, when I was a younger Christian, I feel like almost 12 years old, that I'm still a babe in Christ. I still have a diaper on.
Yeah.
I still have so much to learn and so far to go.
Yeah.
But I remember being a younger Christian, the smallest thing would set me off.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can I handle this, Lord?
Yeah.
I look back at that and go, oh my goodness, I'm ashamed that I even thought I couldn't get through
that. That's good.
Yeah.
Why? Because God had to mature me through those things.
That's right.
God has to bring us through things to mature us. Why? So that we can turn to Him. Yeah. So that we can look to Him for help. And stop looking to man. Stop looking for every other way. You know, it took me 40 years to finally turn to God.
Praise the Lord.
I go, my goodness, what in the world was I thinking?
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking.
That's right.
I wasn't thinking spiritual. I was thinking of the world.
Yeah.
Never brought me any satisfaction, man. The psych doctors and the psych medicines and the jails and prisons and the rehabs and the mental hospitals that I spent in three different states. You know what they did for me? Zero. 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 12 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped into my life.
Amen.
You know what He did? He turned my whole life upside down.
Yeah.
He changed it all. He gave me a new desire, a new life, a new outlook on things.
Amen.
Man, I remember getting saved and go, my goodness. I used to agree with that.
Yeah.
What is wrong with me?
Yeah.
What do you think God does with a man that spent 40 years out there?
Yeah.
You don't think He's going to run him through the wilderness?
Right.
Oh, Christian, if you grew up in the church house, your wilderness is even worse than mine. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're a child of God and being directly disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to knock the world out of you.
Yeah.
Not only does He want to knock the world out of them, brother, He wants to knock the religious nonsense out of you. God isn't in it for your religiousness.
Right.
Your religiousness is nothing but filthy rags. Jeremiah was told to go out there and bring a girdle. He said, walk to the Euphrates. He's got that girdle on, and he's walking, and he's sweating through the desert with that girdle on. He says, don't wash it. Oh, could you imagine how filthy that was?
Right.
And then God said, take it and put it in a hole. And leave it there. I don't know how long time passed. I don't know how long it was before God said, I want you to go get that girdle. And I want you to reach into that hole. And I want you to pull it out. And He pulled it out. It was filthy and marred. He goes, that's the righteousness of Israel. That's your righteousness to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A filthy, disgusting girdle. It's marred and worth nothing.
Yeah. Amen.
He's not worried about your righteousness. He's worried about your obedience.
Yeah.
He's worried about your relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Your religious nonsense can go out the door. God's been dealing with religious nonsense since He created us.
Amen.
How's He going to get that out?
Right.
Let's put Him in the wilderness.
Yeah.
What's the very first thing He says here? And thou shalt what? Remember. The very first thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, that God wants you to realize when He brings you in the wilderness, He wants you to remember that experience. Why? Because when God can bring you to a place where you hate sin and where you hate the things that He hates, like He hates it, you'll not go back to it.
Right.
But until God can bring you to a place where you hate it, guess what's going to keep happening? You're going to go through it. So just go through it the first time and spare yourself the trouble.
Amen.
Spare yourself the trouble because it's going to keep coming.
Amen.
God is not the one to lift His hand off when He knows that His child needs this.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then you're going to lift your hand off of your child knowing they need that?
Right.
You're sure not going to do it. So why would you think God would do that with us?
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
So Amen. The wilderness experience.
Amen.
He says, thou shalt remember.
Yep.
Look at the next part.
Amen.
Thou shalt remember all the way which who led thee? Not the devil, not your pastor, but the Lord thy God hath led thee.
Yeah.
Who led thee? God led thee into the wilderness. God puts us into the wilderness. He allows us to go in there, and He's got a purpose while we're in there.
Yeah. Amen.
He's got some things He needs to accomplish in our life.
Yeah.
And that wilderness experience, that darkness and that coldness and that, it feels like separating. You're out there alone by yourself and you have nothing or nobody. And God says, now I got you where I need you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
You're more apt to get on your knees.
Amen. That's right,
man, it's
brother.
In those times you want to fast and say, Lord,
yep.
How come I can't get a hold of you? He goes, I've always been here. The problem is there's something in between me and you.
Yep.
You know, James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, not near.
Yeah.
Nigh and near are two different words.
Yeah.
They don't even have the same definition. Here, I am near that table, but there's something in between me and that table. In order for me to draw nigh to that table, whatever's in between me and that table has to be moved out. And when it's moved out, now I can draw nigh unto this table.
Right.
Yeah. That's what God wants, but there's something always in between us and Him. between us.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what's happened today? In the Laodicean church age, everybody's content with living near God.
Yeah. That's right.
And they miss the experience
good,
of drawing nigh to God. You know what it says? If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. How about but what a wonderful blessing that is. If you'll draw nigh unto God and move that thing out that He said He'll draw nigh unto you. Don't you want God to live nigh unto you?
Yeah.
Most people don't. You know why? Because they're too busy with the world.
Yeah. Right.
Too busy living in the world. Can't get in church when they're supposed to get in church. I'm not bragging. I just want to tell you something. That after I got saved, nobody had to chase me down to come to church.
Amen.
Nobody
Amen.
Had to say, hey, man, you know, it's church time. Right. When the doors are open, we went. Why? Because church is not something I do. It's who I am.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
I told the Lord, I said, outside of being sickness, is there any surgeries I might have? When the doors are open, we're going to be there. Me and my family have been there. And let me tell you, it's Amen. Not been a mistake. We don't regret it for one second.
Amen.
Amen.
I love church.
Amen.
If it's a hard time for you to come to church, you need the wilderness.
Amen.
If it's a hard time for you to get up and pray and read your Bible, you need the wilderness.
Yeah. Amen.
God needs to knock whatever's out in you out of you.
Yeah.
He said that He will have the preeminence.
Yeah.
The first place in your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
I can go work overtime, or I can go do this, and I can go do that. But, oh, man, church, gosh, I'm kind of tired. Good, be tired for Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Ain't tired when it comes to football and everything else that you watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Walk there and do and work.
Yeah.
My goodness, it comes to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden everything falls apart for us.
Yeah. Come on.
What is that?
That's
the world.
Yeah.
That's our sin nature. That's our flesh getting in the way. How do you think God's going to remove that?
Yeah.
Thing called the wilderness.
That's Amen. Right.
Yeah.
He'll get that.
Yeah.
He'll take care of that. Look, it says here, these 40 years in the wilderness, the very first thing He says, to humble thee. Oh, God. Oh, God, do we need humbling today?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've become so lifted up in ourselves, lifted up in our righteousness and our pride and those things that we do. And God says the wilderness is where He's going to humble His children. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember, God wants to humble His children. Why? Because we walk around with a big head like the world does, and He wants to pop that bubble.
That's right.
As many times in my life, God comes around with a pen and goes, and He just pops that bubble.
Yep. Amen.
You know what I needed? I thank God for it, but I'll tell you, I don't thank God when I'm going through it in the auto, right?
Yeah.
Give thanks in all things. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Give thanks in how many things? All things.
Right.
All things.
Yeah.
Good and bad. Didn't say when things are good or when you're in the mood to thank. It's very easy to thank Him when things are going right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank Him the next time that tragedy comes along.
Yeah.
You go, what in the world could I thank Him for in this?
Right.
He said to do it. Why? He's got a purpose and a plan.
Yeah.
Do you believe it or not?
Yeah.
It comes down to, do we really believe what this Bible says? Word for word. We can't. There's no way to take that out of context. Do we thank Him for all things and thank Him for none? That's a reality. What's that going to take? The wilderness to make you thankful? Then He'll bring you there.
Yeah.
Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Familiar verses, but let me tell you this. Please don't let the familiarity of verses take away the power of this Bible.
Right.
Travel around Amen. Too much and you open up and the people go, oh, I know that verse. And then they just shut the Bible off right there because they know that verse.
Yeah.
How dare you? That's God's word.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
You say, well, it's really not having an effect on it. That's because you shut it down. God didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
That Bible, no matter what verse, we could preach John 3:16. Ought to convict you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ought to make you think about Jesus Christ and what He done and what He gave up for you.
Yeah.
But it don't. Why? Because we all know John 3:16. And so the devil comes along and somebody at a football game is holding up John 3:16. He's absolutely desensitized us to the word of God. And then we blame God for the things that are going on in our life. But we're the ones who shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care how familiar a verse is to you. How much can you live it?
Amen.
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 I don't care if you know 100 verses sitting in this church. If you can't live one of them, it's worthless to God.
Amen. Yeah.
Go ahead and memorize that Bible and then can't live it.
Yeah.
God didn't say just memorize it. He said live it. Do it.
Yeah.
Put these things in your heart. Write them upon the tables upon your heart and do these things. This Bible wasn't just given to us to memorize and impress people.
Right. Amen. That's right.
It's given to us to live.
Yeah.
Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth.
Yeah, right.
It's an instruction manual on how to run our life. Well, you know, I think I'm doing okay. Oh, goodness, you need the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You need the wilderness to go ahead and get that knocked out of, because I'm not okay.
Yeah. That's,
I'm not okay. I got things in my life God's still trying to get out. Yeah. Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, on the hand of God.
No.
Humble yourself, therefore, in the hand of God.
No,
but that's where we always think that we're going to find ourselves.
Yep.
That's not what that verse says. That verse is, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Put yourself under the hand of God. It's under the power of God. It's under what he wants for you. It takes a lot to put yourself under it. It's a voluntary thing that you have to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't voluntarily do it, here comes the wilderness.
Yeah.
Because it says in the very first thing, to humble thee.
Yeah.
God wants a humble servant. Yeah, he wants a humble child. He wants a humble Christian person.
Yeah, that's good, brother. Amen.
To humble thee. And then guess what? He will exalt you in whose time?
His.
We want God to exalt us in our time.
Yeah.
Man, over the last 7 years in this ministry, God has made that verse more and more prevalent in my life. I go, Lord, I'm trying to exalt myself. Forgive me for, you know why? Because when I exalt myself, Brother Paul, I take his glory. And God don't share the glory with no man or woman.
Amen.
Amen.
God shared, no, you know what he'll do? The same thing he did with me about a year and a half ago. He put me through that wilderness because I was trying to take his glory.
Yep. Amen.
You know what I realized about a year and a half ago? That I was glorifying my past more than what Jesus Christ has done for me today.
Yeah.
I was still in his glory with that nonsense.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That wilderness came, son, let me tell you. About knocked me for a loop, but I tell you what, thank God for his mercy. Thank God that I was able to get down on my knees and some fasting and prayer, because it says fast and pray, not just pray.
Yeah.
Fast and pray. When you're faced with a circumstance that you can't handle, that's too big for you, he doesn't say just pray about it. He says fasting and pray.
Yeah.
That's a curse word in Baptist churches today.
Yeah.
Fast. You know what else is a curse word in Baptist churches? Be holy. Holy. Be holy. A person who wants to be holy like Christ will spend some time in the wilderness. And they won't cry and complain about it.
Amen.
They won't whine.
Yeah.
They'll understand God needs me to live holy.
Yeah.
You got some lost people that you know, some lost people in your family, then maybe you need a wilderness experience to get you off your high horse so that you can reach them.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's a reality.
Yeah. Amen.
Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace. Who? He wants you to know he's the God of some grace. No. All grace. The God of all grace, who had called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After. Not before. Not between. He says after that ye have suffered a while. Make you. He didn't say it might happen. No, he says after you have suffered, he will make you. This is a promise from God. But you have to be willing to go through the suffering.
Yeah, that's right.
You talk about those people that we pray for. Uganda, I believe you said. How far are we willing to go, old American Christian?
Yep.
Like we suffer.
Yeah.
We whine and cry. And then you hear a prayer that needs to be done in Uganda. And we think we're really going through some hard times.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
How about that missionary that took a bullet in his head with his wife in the car?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name.
Right.
Are we really willing to go that far? That man could have left the country anytime he wanted to. But two men had got saved and he wanted to baptize them, so he stayed. Yeah. How far are we willing to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Ouch.
Oh, we're not.
Yeah.
Wonder why God's bringing judgment on weak Christian Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna go.
Amen.
Pastor, we're gonna go so far, Lord. We're willing to go anywhere except for right here.
Yeah.
That's the American Christian today. Oh, we're willing to go anywhere, but Lord, don't go right here. Just stop right here and we'll be okay. He says, no, I'm gonna get you over that line.
Right. Amen.
Are you willing? Because look at After I got saved, 6 months later, my wife got saved after me. Thank God for that.
Amen.
We knelt down next to the bed. Be careful what you pray for if you're a Christian. If you're saved in here, be careful what you pray for.
Yes, sir.
And we pray, Lord, anywhere. Send us anywhere. Now, when I got out of prison, I wasn't looking to go back to prison.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to go to a prison ministry, not me. I ain't going back in there. Go give your testimony, not me. And then Lord reminded me, remember that prayer you prayed with your wife that you'll go anywhere at any time? I said, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He answered that prayer.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. It took the wilderness to kick it out of me. I was a Jonah. I tried to run.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If you're a real Christian here, you are not going to run from God.
Right.
You're his child.
Yeah.
You ain't going very far. He will get you. He will. It will catch up to you.
That's right.
You go, maybe I'm not going through something. Well, the Bible says, and this is a Bible word, it says, if you don't get that chastisement, you're a bastard.
Yeah.
You're not his.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Amen.
After you have suffered a while, look what it says. He will make you perfect. That means to mature you. That means everything you go through. When these trials come and you get through that one, the next one comes and the next, you'll handle it a little differently. That little thing that used to bother you won't get you that way anymore. Those little things that used to set you off won't do that anymore. And so it brings more and more and more. Why? Because he has a will and a purpose for your life. If God did not put me through those things that I need to go through, if he didn't throw me through those wildernesses that I went through, I would not be able to handle being in the jails and prisons. Because they do things to me and say things to me that would have set me off when I was in prison, that we would have fought and tried to kill each other over.
Right.
There are things you can't say to somebody in prison. There are things you can't do. And I've had those happen to me out here. And God has had to run me through the wilderness so that I can handle those things.
Wow. Amen.
Otherwise, I can't be in a jail and prison ministry.
Right.
You know what that took? The wilderness. The wilderness. And that person that's willing, because God put on my heart, sister, he said, are those people that you go minister to, are they worth it?
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. Yeah.
They may not be worth anything to anybody else, but they sure are to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And they, you know what? They sure are to me. Pastor, I can guarantee that you love your people here. Those are my people.
Amen.
I'm not there because of what they've done legally. Let them stay where they are. Let them stay where they need to be. Maybe God can get a hold of them in there. But I sure love them for who they are because Jesus Christ loves that soul and he died for it.
Amen.
He was willing to die for them.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why you have a hard time with convicts? Because you try to put a level on sin.
That's right.
You can't put a level on sin. At Calvary, that level's ground. That ground is level.
That's right.
It takes the same blood to save them as it does you.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
No, hey, look, I understand they're lawbreakers. I get it. But you are too against God's laws.
Yeah. Preach it.
You're in more danger. You're in more danger. They understand what they are.
Yeah.
Some people in church have no clue what they are.
There you go.
Come on.
But that wilderness will show you. Well, after you have suffered to make you perfect, that word established, you see that? If you're saved, that means you're established. E, with the E on it. You're established in Jesus Christ. That word established means to build upon what's already been established. How does that happen, Pastor? After you have suffered. To be established in Christ. For him to be able to build on top of that, you have to go through some sufferings. You have to be able to be matured. And that's going to take some sufferings. And God can build upon that thing that's already been established in Christ. That firm foundation.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. After it says to be established, it says this. Strengthened. You notice that it takes sufferings to be strengthened in Jesus. We're not talking about being strengthened in your own self.
Right.
We're talking about being strengthened in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Strengthened in this Christian walk.
Yes.
When you stop relying on yourself and start relying on
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Amen.
The problem is we try to rely on our strength. We try to take our walk. Well, I've been walking with the Lord, 25 years, and we try to take that and make that our strength, and it's not. We have to rely on his strength.
Yes.
That's why he puts us through those sufferings.
Right.
That's why he puts us through the wildernesses.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? So we can strengthen our relationship between him and us. It's not about us.
Yeah, right.
You know what it says? Our life has become, we've lost our purpose. It's about his purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Isn't God good like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it makes me excited that I'm in his purpose.
Yeah.
Because my purpose out there was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hellish. If there was ever a hell on earth, it was my life. And God stepped in, and you know what? He gave me a little heaven on earth.
Amen.
Because he didn't just promise me eternity in heaven, but he gave me a piece of heaven here where he said, your life would be more abundant.
Yeah.
I'm not talking financial. We're just as broke as everybody else. Don't think we're loaded. We're not. It's okay, though.
Yes.
It's okay, though. We're all right. God, we don't go out there begging bread. God takes care of us just fine.
Yeah.
It was a challenge to us, brother. God had to bring us to a wilderness. Then he brought us to a meeting where we sat underneath some preaching. It's wonderful because we don't always get to sit underneath preacher. We're always usually the preachers. So we're in a meeting up in Maine. I had just given up my full-time job. And God told my wife, you're done. And I knew I looked over and she shook her head. Yeah, we didn't even say a word. I knew that the Lord had just put on my heart and her heart that she was done working. You're talking almost $100,000 a year between me and her. Everything. 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 Counting on that money that me and her were making. And God said, how far are you willing to go? Now that took a wilderness to get us there. God had to break us in that wilderness. And he had to show us, you can trust me.
Yeah.
She put in her 30 days. This is our third year. God has not forsaken us, has he? Do we struggle? Do we go through hard times? Absolutely. But it's okay. We're all right because you know what? I believe we're 100% in God's will. If I was to die and go to heaven right now, my conscience is clear of what I've done so far.
Amen.
I have no guilt of anything that I've done.
Amen.
Two more minutes and I'll be done, okay? And we'll give some time. Look at this. It says, settle you. Look at the last part, settle you. Christians, the more we mature, the closer we get to God, the more nigh we get to God, the longer we serve him, the longer we allow him to run us through those wildernesses when he needs to, we will not only be strengthened, but then our life will start leveling a lot, a whole lot more. You know, when you're a young Christian, it's up and down, why? God's trying to teach you in that.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you to a point where you can settle. It's not always settled as when you're a long-term Christian. If you've been saved, you know, 20, 30 years, man, you got a long stretch of period of time that goes wonderful. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's that dip. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. You know why? He's settled us.
Amen.
Getting you ready for heaven, brother. Hey, he's preparing you for heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll be settled forever in eternity up there. We don't have to worry about that, but he's settling us. He's trying to make that ride smooth until eternity.
Yeah.
But he don't ever leave us alone.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not going to read the rest, but I want you to understand, not only does he want to humble us, but he wants to prove us. He wants to see where you're at. He already knows where you're at. He already knows your heart. He's not trying to see his heart for his purpose. He's trying to show you what you are. He wants you to be a walking tomb, those things. So he wants to humble you. He wants to prove you. He wants to know what's in your heart. Not for his sake, but for your sake. And here's the last one. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. The wilderness experience is going to show God these things. Or he's going to show you what these things that God already knows. And just remember this, who he led in the wilderness. He led in the wilderness. So if he's leading you in the wilderness today, let him. Don't fight it. Ask him to help you through it, not out of it. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you.